our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, powerful and compassionate, you shepherd your people, faithfully feeding and protecting us. Heal each of us and make us a whole people, that we may embody the justice and peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. You know what I like to do on Sunday afternoon when I get home from church and I have a little bit of lunch and then I sit down in my recliner and put the feet up, put the ledge up for my feet, and I take the newspaper. What do you think I do? What do you think?
Relax.
I relax, exactly right. Sometimes people have animals, stuffed animals, that they like to snuggle with when they take a nap.
Like this one.
Do you have a stuffed animal that you, when you were little, that you used to hold when you'd take a nap? You have one. Did you have one? Did you have a, what did you have? What's your, a bunny? What did you have? A bunny? Did you girls have? Does Olivia have something that she snuggles with now? What does she have? A blanket that she snuggles with. You know, it's really comfortable to have something to snuggle with when we want to relax. And sometimes, as soon as you sit down or you take a nap, you fall asleep. Because we feel safe and we feel protected and we're all relaxed, like Cameron said. Jesus said to his disciples, "Come away, you look tired. Come away and spend a little time. Let's go relax. Let's go take a nap." And then a little later he says, "You know, I'm like the good shepherd that takes care of my sheep." This is Levi. Levi's lived with me for a very long time. And he likes to take naps. He likes to relax. But Jesus says, one of the reasons that we relax is because so that we don't have to be thinking of all the stuff that we want to do. We don't have to be thinking about playing games or having lunch or what chore we might have to do. We just can relax. And that's a good time for us to talk to God when we're relaxing, when we're quiet and when we're at and trying to be peaceful. So today in your Sunday school, I think you're going to have some time to relax and to talk about how God loves us so much and takes care of us like a shepherd takes care of the sheep. So go off to Sunday school, have a good lesson, and we'll see you at the Lord's Prayer time. Okay?
The first reading from 2 Samuel. Now when David the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, Why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore thus you shall say to my servant David, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. Word of God, word of life. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him.
My hand will hold him fast, and my arm will make him strong.
No enemy shall deceive him, nor shall the wicked bring him down.
I will crush his foes before him, and strike down those who hate him.
My faithfulness and steadfast love are with him, and he shall be victorious through my name. He will say to me, You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation.
I will make him my firstborn, and higher than the kings of the earth.
I will keep my love for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him.
I will establish his line forever, and his throne as the days of heaven.
If his children forsake my teaching, and do not walk according to my judgments, I will punish their transgressions with a rod, and with their iniquities with the lash.
But I will not take my love from him, nor let my faithfulness prove false.
I will not break my covenant, nor change what has gone out of my lips.
Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David.
His line shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me.
It shall stand fast.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Ephesians. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. That is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets,
with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns, and they arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, the people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to Christ.
Well, I always look forward to my week at confirmation camp at Luther Glen. And there's a farm there now. And it's even more fun and more interesting. The goats and their babies were a big draw. That was always on what was your high and low. We would do this little check-in every night. And the goats, especially the baby goats, were always on the high. On the low side was the heat, bug bites, and the lack of shade. Lack of shade. And Ian's group, the last day, their low was also the high. The shower exploded. So for some kids, it was the low, the ones who were waiting in line to take a shower. And for the kids that saw it happen, pretty exciting to have the nozzle blow off and flood the whole cabin. It was a good week for campers and for counselors, for pastors, and for the youth workers. A fun week. Well, next week, we have another fun week. We have Vacation Bible School here, and that's going to be a great week as well, and I'm excited about that. I'm especially excited about all of those of you who participate in bringing that good community outreach. You know, most of the children that come are not members of the church, but neighbors and friends of the church. And it's a great opportunity for us to reach out to others. This year, we're using the theme from the God's Good Creation, and it is part of the ELCA World Hunger program. And we will be participating in caring for creation and helping those who have less, especially less food and less water. And next Sunday, I'm thinking that you'll have an opportunity to participate in that ELCA World Hunger too. So bring a couple coins in your pocket and we'll have an opportunity to see, to add adult money to what the children bring in during the week and participate in that ELCA World Hunger. Maybe we can buy a goat. I forgot to mention that while we were at camp, Regina, a goat, had her twins, and we got to watch. And it was as I think Hannah had or Sam had the words. It was beautiful and gross, rather confusing. Very interesting to watch the circle of life. It was a. They're coming, and I don't think Regina will come, but
four chickens and I think a lamb.
Oh, all right. So they've got a lot of chickens. The children had a chance to go to the farm every day. They had three slots of activities, and they could sign up for the pool or archery or games or. But the farm was one of the activities, and. Some of the kids signed up for farm every day and just would, did all kinds of things. You signed up a couple times, didn't you, Ian?
Twice
for, on one day. To take care of the animals, to hold those baby goats. There were goats that were born the day before we got there. It was born on Friday, actually. We got there on Sunday. Monday, I helped move those goats from the birthing barn to the other thing. So I carried this little 3-day-old goat up the hill. It was really very special, and I'm glad that they're going to come and that our children here will have an opportunity to see the animals in real life. Well, that's next week. Today, the gospel, we hear this story of the apostles coming to report to Jesus the success of their week away. They went away to, Jesus had sent them out two by two to go to proclaim for the repentance and to cast out demons and to cure the sick in all of the surrounding villages. So they come back eager to report, just like I'm going on about camp. They were eager to report about what they had seen and done, and they were tired, but they were pretty pumped up from their experiences, their successful ventures. And Jesus was tired too. People begging him for cures, clamoring after him with questions and cares. All of these people surrounding him. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, teach me. Jesus, listen to my story. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, 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 and he's just, finally he just says, there are so many people coming and going, we need to get away. We don't even have time to eat. We can't even get to the house. There are so many people. Come away. Let's go away and relax. Let's go and rest. It's a good idea. They needed a break. If busyness was a problem in the first century, I think that it's even worse in the 21st century. Anybody never feel a need for a break? All right, it didn't. Oh, okay, one question there. I mean, one response in the back. Yeah, with a twins and a year-old baby, I'm sure she never needs a break. We're harried or hurried and pushed, rushed every day. We have families and jobs and clubs that we belong to. We have kids or grandkids activities that we want to participate in or watch on YouTube videos that they've made. We have our doctor's appointments and people that we promise to help and on. In this technical world, we don't have much breathing space. All those labor-saving devices seem to have just caused more labor. I don't think they saved any time at all. They make more work. We rely on voicemail and texting. And in some ways, it seems that communication is less personal rather than more. Social media has replaced personal communication. What was supposed to bring us closer together as family and friends instead create a barrier, and it seems like we never really talk to one another anymore. We share information, but we never just chat. Come away with me. Let's get away for a little while and rest. Notice what Jesus says here. He says, come. He invites. He invited the apostles to be with him. Come away with me. Rest with me. We can learn that rest and relaxation can really only happen in connection with Jesus. The apostles aren't going to find any renewal apart from Jesus. He had compassion on his apostles. They'd been working hard. They needed to find a balance between their physical needs and their spiritual needs. We need to find that kind of balance too. We need to have time to be alone with Jesus and time to be active in our good works that we do in our community and in our congregation. We need time to nurture friendships and family relationships, and we need time to be in service and to just be by ourselves. St. Vincent de Paul, who was a great social activist in the 17th century, had some excellent advice for those who would be faithful followers of Jesus in caring for the needs of others. He advised them to take care of themselves too. He said, "Be careful to preserve your own health. It is a trick of the devil, which he employs to deceive good souls, to incite them to do more than they are able in order that they may no longer be able to do anything." That's the work of the devil. I find that very interesting because I like to encourage people to be involved and to do more and to support and to be active and to get. Now, if you would say, "No, I can't help with VBS next week. I need to take a nap," I would be a little disappointed. But I think what the point is that we need to take care of ourselves in order that we can then be energized and say, "I won't go to camp with you for a week so that I can help out with VBS next week. I won't do three things so that I can do one thing really well." So keep that in your mind when you get asked to do something or you get invited or you feel that call, to look at, is this the best way for me to spend my time and my energy? Is this the best way that God is going to nurture and nourish me and then give me the energy? You know, like they say on the airplane, put your own mask on first before you help the others. Sometimes we need to focus, focus on ourselves. Take care of ourselves before we are worried and make ourselves sick trying to take care of others. Those of you who are caregivers, these are words for you today. You who are parents of small children, you who care for a spouse or for a parent who has grown less able to care for themselves, you who have concerns about raising teens and young adults, those of you who have stressful jobs or financial worries, those of you who are concerned and worried about your adult children, those of you who are overwhelmed with personal problems or broken dreams, these are words for you today. Jesus says to you, come away with me. Let's get away and rest. When Jesus looked out at the crowds of people, he saw people who look a lot like us. People with cares and concerns, people with illness and sinful behaviors, people with worries and problems of all sorts, people who are excluded by society and maybe even by their own families because of illness or disease. Jesus looked at the crowd of people and had compassion on them. He looked at them and cared because they were like sheep without a shepherd. What happens to sheep without a shepherd? They'll wander off from the flock and get lost. They don't know where to find food or water. A sheep that wanders off from the flock will most likely end up being supper for some other wild animal. Sheep need their shepherds. In the ancient world, the kings were known as the shepherds of their people. It was their job to provide for and to protect the people, just like a good shepherd would do for the flock. But all too often, those kings failed to do that. Remember last Sunday's gospel when we heard about a king who was a very bad shepherd? Herod was supposed to shepherd his people, but instead he was leading them astray. The power of kingship, I don't know if that's even a word, well, his ego and his great lust for power, his desire for admiration and for human respect, that was all leading him and, as a result, the nation into chaos. There was a lack of leadership, a lack of shepherding under Herod. Jesus saw the people of Herod's rule like sheep without a shepherd. It's kind of quite a contrast, isn't it, between Herod, who was the king, supposed to be the shepherd of the people, who was only concerned about himself and what others might think of him, and Jesus, the true king, the good shepherd, who had compassion for the people, who could care, who couldn't care less about what people thought about him or having human respect. We know what it cost Jesus to be more concerned about others than himself. He was only concerned about doing the will of God, about His concern was about the people, that they would know of God's great love, and then to be able to share in that. Some of the verses in our gospel were left out of our reading today. Maybe you noticed that we skipped verses 35 through 52. We went, just skipped that whole paragraph. That section tells the story of Jesus feeding that crowd of people with 2 fish and 5 loaves. Next week, we'll hear John's version of the feeding of the 5,000. Maybe the people who planned the lectionary didn't want to tell us that story twice in a row, so they skipped it this week. But I think it's important for us to know that at this time when Jesus was feeling that great compassion for this particular crowd, he cared for them in their spiritual concerns, but also in their physical needs. He taught them, he fed them, he healed them. Jesus gave his all in all ways. Last week at confirmation camp, the campers and the counselors, the youth leaders and the pastors, there were probably 85 or so of us all together. We studied and prayed and played under the theme, All In. All In. Not poker. We didn't play any poker. At least I didn't play any poker. I don't know if the kids did. All In. Each day, we were given a theme word that took us deeper into God's love and into Jesus' example. We were invited to participate. It's Monday. Invited. We were invited to see that we inherit hope. And even, or maybe especially, with interruptions in our expectations and plans, we were instructed how to live following Jesus. And finally, on Friday, we learned how we can influence the world by our example. Invited to inherit, in spite of interruptions or because of interruptions, instructed to be an influence. Although it's not an IN word, I was impressed with the whole week, with that theme of all in. Today's gospel shows us that Jesus is indeed all in. He holds nothing back. He's a good shepherd, in contrast to Herod, the bad shepherd. Jesus asks us, invites us to be all in too. He invites us to know that we have inherited hope, to see God's opportunities in those interruptions and disruptions in our life, and to follow his example of being all in. All in God's love for us and for God's creation in sharing that love and that life. Come away with me, Jesus invites. And I hope that our response is always, yes, I'm all in. Amen.